Burbank Radio Studio. There are assembled two phenomenal geeks with the power to communicate, review movies and television, bring you the news, and say it's funny. Streaming to the internet at the speed of light, 96 KBS. For the next 2 hours, the superhost, Anime with the power of knowledge.
You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com, check out our website at geekworldradio.com, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So those of you that have been following us on Twitter know that last week we were at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con 2010, and we had an amazing time. So let me just give you a little prep with some of the things that are to come in this episode. We have interviews with most of the cast of Leverage, including the co-creator, and a very special interview with Will Wheaton.
Yes.
We also have interviews with some cast and makers of Tron and Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
And we have an interview with the guy responsible for that amazingly awesome Dark Knight motorcycle suit that you probably all saw in the news a couple months back.
Those suits are so sweet.
They are so sweet. So that's the stuff that's going to be coming up later in this show. It's pretty exciting, right?
Oh, man. I love Comic-Con so much. You know, what year is this now? Our fourth year there?
Yeah, I think so.
I would say, yeah. Oh, man. And this was the best one for us so far. It was really great. We got to meet some awesome people and see some pretty crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
And a crazy Comic-Con it was, that's for sure.
Oh, man. It was out of control.
There was ups. There were downs. There was, like, middle ways also. You know, as things go, really.
Craziness.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, what should we talk about first? Because, like, there's so much stuff in my head because we did so much. First off, I feel like a Super Saiyan.
I know.
We walked so much.
I know.
We walked to the convention about a mile or so.
Mile and a half.
About a mile
every
and a half
day,
every
yeah.
day. And so we did our Goku training.
Uh huh.
And so, you know, we are now ready to, if nothing else, Kaioken. Of course, there's a ton of walking around Comic-Con itself. So, man, it was such a great time. Along with, you know, the interviews we have, we got to see some pilots to some new shows,
mm-hmm.
like The Cape
coming
up
yeah.
with Summer Glau.
Oh, we got to see a clip or the first scene or the first part of the show. Teen Wolf.
Oh, dear God.
Made for MTV.
Yes,
that will be some interesting conversation.
Yes, we did.
We got to see some clips of the new season of Being Human, which we've
yes.
been championing since last year when we started watching it.
Great show.
Amazing show. And the cast, oh, my God, I love them even more now that we've, like, seen them.
It's one of those spectacular shows that, you know, it always sounds like the beginning of a joke, but it is, you know, it is just so great. You know,
mm-hmm.
a werewolf, a ghost, and a vampire all live together in a flat.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic. And also, we got to see a trailer and see the panel for TNT's upcoming Falling Skies,
yeah.
produced by Steven Spielberg, which is pretty sweet.
Pretty good, yeah, starring Noah Wiley and Moon Bloodgood.
Oh, Moon Bloodgood.
Oh, thank you for bringing Moon Bloodgood back to
yes,
TV.
Yes, Moon Bloodgood.
We hope to keep her there for a long time.
She is not allowed to go anywhere, you know, and luckily she doesn't really. Like, you know, if one project ends, the next starts because
yeah.
she's just way, way too hot to not, you know,
gotta
be
give
there
it
all
up
the time.
To TNT.
Yeah,
TNT
yeah.
and their original programming, they've been really coming out with some really quality stuff. You know, it's like obviously there's a few that don't quite hit right in there, but a lot of the stuff they've been coming out with has just been fantastic. I mean, we've been loving Leverage ever since it came on, and you know, we got the interviews to prove it a little later.
I know, it's so crazy, it's so funny. You know, we love Leverage so much, and we found it you know, pretty much since the first season, and you know, we were even considering going up to Portland where they shoot it to do a visit because we wanted to talk to everyone. So it was so cool we got to see them there at Comic-Con. We had a bunch of celebrity sightings too.
Yes.
I used my superpowers and I could see all the celebrities incognito with their hats and their shades on, and we ran into a few celebrities. We didn't make it into Hall H this year because it's how should we put this?
Stabby?
Yes, it's yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, long lines.
There you
but,
go. There you
long
go.
Long lines
yeah.
that led to stabbiness.
Yeah. No. You are 100% correct. Yes, there was a little bit of an issue, a little bit of violence going on, a little prison courtyard stuff going on in Hall H. Before
a lot of it was some stuff that pretty much the consensus is that was totally not a geek that was doing that.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? It was weird. You know, it was a really interesting Comic-Con because I think that you noticed pretty early on that a lot of people there they were saying like it's their first Comic-Con.
Yes,
and the atmosphere is a little different, but you know, there's never really any violence at Comic-Con, and it was a very strange occurrence for that to happen.
Yeah, the most violence that ever happens is things unintentionally falling on people.
Yeah,
not people like stabbing each other with pens in the eye.
You know, it's a high stress time in the world right now, and you know, people they want to see their cowboys versus aliens, and they get upset if they don't. So yes, unfortunately that happened. Luckily though, you know, there was a bunch of people there to stop
him. There was a bunch of geeks that have been reading their comic books and said, "Let's essentially jump on this guy and make sure he doesn't get anywhere because we are the heroes, my friends."
Exactly. Yeah. No. Exactly. And luckily, you know, it worked out. So luckily, you know, I don't actually know if it worked out. I have no clue. You know, I'm sure the person lived, and I'm sure everything is fine now.
Yeah, we hope that guy is doing okay.
Yeah.
We gotta give mad props to all the people that actually stepped in to stop the other guy to make sure that he was held until authorities got there. That's the thing. That's the difference between your geeks and your non-geeks.
Yeah.
You know, your real geeks, they want to be the hero.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they want to be Superman. They want to be Batman. And, like, every single one that helped there, they got to feel like the actual comic book hero.
It must have been a very kick-ass moment. You know? It's like, we're real superheroes. Yeah, well, you know, and though it was unfortunate, apparently a lot of people booed because, you know, they started playing trailers because they couldn't, you know, quite start the panel when someone stabbed in the eye. It is really cool that there were people there able to stop that. And, you know, it was really bizarre because, like we said before, you know, Comic-Con, that stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not a violent place. So
We actually were not around for when that happened. We didn't even hear about it until later because we were busy on our quest for the Spirit Hood.
Quest for the Spirit
Hood. Quest that's been going on ever since E3.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And by the way, I'm just going to say we got some things to say about the game Vindictus and the awesome Spirit Hood I got from that booth and Vindictus, it's something that's really interesting, so you're definitely going to want to stick around to hear about that.
Definitely and other than that, you know, it's just all kind of crazy stuff we got to see. Oh, I don't know. Oh, we got to see an escalator explode.
Oh my God, yeah we got to see an escalator totally break while people were using it. That was kind of creepy. A glass case almost fell on us.
There was a lot of strange occurrences going on at Comic-Con this year.
We got to see a homeless couple break up every single night on repeat.
It was like Groundhog Day. Yes. Yeah. Every time we walked back, it was a new argument. And you know, it's like homeless people have the same problems as the rest of us, I guess.
Over and over again, every day.
Yes,
the exact same ones.
On a loop. Yes.
Yeah, fighting.
Very odd.
You hear the screaming of, "Don't you steal my stuff!"
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
But that was not actually part of any panels. That was not anything.
Should have been.
Actually, it was kind of more entertaining than some of the panels we saw, except for the Teen Wolf panel.
Oh, yeah,
it was entertaining because of the awkwardness of it.
Yeah.
I've never been in a more awkward situation, I swear, than that panel.
That was strange.
It was kind of sad and weird all the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going
to
do?
We also got to see another kind of interesting panel. For those of you who know the cartoon strip with the character of Opus.
Yeah.
You know, the penguin.
Yes.
Yeah,
so do we want to talk about some of the do you want to talk about the celebrity sightings we saw? Do we want to just talk about some of the stuff we saw you know, right there on the floor, or what are we up to now? What's going on?
Oh goodness. Why don't we just take a few minutes and talk about some of our talk about some of our celebrity sightings.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, we saw a whole lot of different celebrities. One of the odd ones was, you know, right after we did our you know, Leverage interviews, we were, you know, just walking out, and all of a sudden I saw, like, you know, a van stop and a door open, and all of a sudden we saw Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
So, you know, we did not get to see any special Green Lantern stuff, but I was about 5 feet away from Blake Lively.
And we did catch a little video, I believe.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And for those of you who haven't been keeping up on our tweets, yes, they both are that beautiful in person.
Well,
it's, yeah. It's kind of ridiculous and kind of like, you know, it's surreal.
It's always really funny, you know. There's two things about meeting celebrities. The first is, you know, if they're as cool as you hope.
Yes.
And luckily we've had really good experiences with that.
Yeah.
And also it's like,
by the way, everybody from Leverage plus Will Wheaton, totally as cool as we could have hoped.
You
like,
know,
possibly cooler than we ever could have hoped.
Yeah, I think in some ways, yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, I always get worried when I meet people from shows I really like, because I'm afraid if, you know, if it just doesn't work out well, that, you know, I won't be able to, you know, like the show anymore. And luckily that did not happen at all.
No.
And yeah, it's so funny that we talked to Will Wheaton, too. And we're talking about more about, you know, we've seen Will Wheaton around.
Yeah.
It's not just in us watching Star Trek The Next Generation.
We're pretty sure that either we are unintentionally stalking him,
yes,
or he is unintentionally stalking us.
Yes,
you know?
Somehow.
So we're not sure, but we're going to make a video about it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're right. You know, we saw him at the Phoenix Comic Con. Yeah,
he actually stood behind you and watched you play Tron. He obviously didn't know it was you.
Or Will Wheaton behind me.
Yeah, well, that's what I was looking at. I kept looking back, but trying not to look back, because you don't want him to, like, look at you staring, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want, like, because then it's just weird.
It's like a horror movie trailer where you're standing there, all of a sudden it's like, Wheaton!
And then after he watched you, we watched him, and then we took video. And
yes.
Do you know that someone is watching you play Tron?
Man, so cool, so cool. I mean, God, that's like that is one of my favorite shows of all time, Star Trek Next Generation. And also, of course, you know, some amazing work on Big Bang as well as Leverage, we're so glad
to know that he's coming back on Leverage.
Yes, and he'll be telling us a little about his character coming back, too, so we're really excited about that.
One of the other great sightings we had was Timothy Omundson from Psych,
yeah!
Playing Lassiter.
Yeah!
It was actually the first day that we were walking to the convention, and we're walking there, and
like, Dave's way out of the way,
almost like a mile out
the
way.
Totally.
But he took us out of the way for a good reason,
yes,
because we were going to catch Timothy Omundson on a jog.
Yes, and he was super cool. He ran, and he's like, and I was like, wait, you're from Psych. How's it going?
He was just really, like, you know, he was wearing a hat and everything, but I think it was actually to keep the sun out of his eyes, not to not be recognized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's
one of the people that just seemed really happy that, like someone, like, totally recognized him. Plus, it's just nice to see him smile since his Lassiter, he can't really.
You never know with celebrities, you know, anywhere, but especially Comic-Con, because sometimes you get, you know, like him, you know, he's wearing a hat and jogging. Sometimes you get, like, you know, the the Nathan Fillion sombrero and, like, huge clothes and, like, dark shades.
It was like a big sombrero and, like, a pair of overalls.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a farmer.
Yeah, that was, what was that, like 2 or 3 years ago, I think?
It might have been last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just remember it was just like, wow, I don't know if that's inconspicuous or completely conspicuous.
Yeah, he looked like Gomez from Guadalajara. By the way, that's a Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's brilliant.
By the way, just in case you didn't know what I'm talking about there. Yeah.
Nobody knows.
No one could possibly know what I'm talking about. Who are the other? Well, you know, speaking of Nathan Fillion, we saw the girl from Castle, too.
Yes.
The girl who plays his daughter.
Molly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what her full name is.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, we didn't look that up. Anyway, it's no big deal.
I know her first name is Molly.
I was feeling, you know, and so that was really cool seeing her
Yes.
I don't know what to say. Well, you know, I gotta say, I felt very paternal for a little bit because I saw, you know, a walk around this guy.
Molly C. Quinn.
Yes, Molly C. Quinn. I don't know if this guy was your boyfriend or not, but, you know, as far as I can tell, she's a little girl and she's been with some guy.
Yeah, it's like we saw her with this guy and he had a little bit of facial hair and he looked like too cool for school.
Yeah.
And
we're like, what's this?
Like, you know, she looked super happy, which is just really nice, but at the same time, you're like, does your TV dad approve, you know?
It's like, I'm by no means, you know, any sort of, a parental type, you know, figure. I have no
not at all
whatsoever. But I was like, man, does Rick know about this? What's going on over here?
Yeah.
So, you know, that was, you know.
By the way, she is just adorable in person and looks exactly the same as she does on TV. Like, exactly. And, you know, it's nice to see someone, you know, like her age who's acting who just looks so happy.
I totally agree.
So happy. Yeah. And I can see, you know, on Castle, it just being a great set to work on.
Totally.
We know that Stana is super nice, and Nathan Fillion, from everything I've heard, is just the nicest guy, so.
Yes, we met Stana in the movie I was in where I got killed 15 times.
Yes.
I was part of a Latino gang.
Once in a red hat, and once without a hat, and once in a leather jacket, and once without a jacket.
Yes. I'm an albino Latino. with a red hat in that movie. So watch out.
Yes.
You never know. You know, and let's see. Who else did we run into? We saw a bunch of guys from The Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
I think the best one.
Oh.
Yeah, the best one is, okay, so.
We were walking home from.
If you watch Vampire Diaries, you know Nina Dobrev's character has a brother played by Stephen R. McQueen. And he's the, he's, I guess, what, the grandson of,
Steve McQueen.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I recognize him, one, because, you know, we actually like the show Vampire Diaries a lot.
We didn't want to like it, but we couldn't help it.
You know what's really funny is, you know, Being Human is one of those fantastic shows that when you explain to someone, it sounds silly and you have to go just watch it. Vampire Diaries, like, if you can get past the title, it's actually a pretty decent show.
And the great thing is, it's based on a book from, like, the early 90s,
yeah.
Like when it was probably the person was probably writing it in the 80s,
yeah.
You know, and so like a lot of the ideas from it are things that were then taken and put into things like Buffy, put into things like, you know, like Twilight and all these other things. But yeah, it's actually pretty quality. It's got some great storylines and especially for a CW show, you know.
Yeah, totally. And so of course, you know, I saw him and, while we were walking out, I point at him, I go, hey, Stephen R. McQueen.
Yeah, he seemed really entertained by that, him and the chick he was with. They
yeah,
seemed
totally.
To really, like, it's like, hey, and it's like you don't, not only do you actually know who I am, you actually know who I am.
Yeah.
like by the title that they show in the show.
Yeah, totally. So, and, you know, we also saw, they thought it was funny. We also saw, Ian Somerhalder.
Yes, Ian Somerhalder and actually Stephen R. McQueen, they were taking pictures with with some girls, and the guy who plays Alaric Saltzman, he was photobombing.
Yes,
all of a sudden he comes over and he sticks his head into the photo. That girl is going to be so happy.
I believe the actor is it Matt Davis. Is that his name?
I believe so.
So we got to interview him because I need to know if his character Lars Saltzman from Vampire Diaries is the descendant of his character from Blood Rain.
Oh my god!
I need to know.
That would be. So funny.
And it's like, what is it like to have a love scene with Christina Loken? Because I've always wondered that. Now, wait, there's two things we should say real quick about the panels that we know about that we didn't see. The first thing is, apparently during the Green Lantern panel, there was a ring giveaway.
Yeah. Apparently what happened is, you know, everyone got in and people were supposed to look under their seats. And the person that had the key got this ring that Ryan Reynolds had been wearing ever since, you know, for like the last 6 months. It's an actual prop. I think, from the movie that he had been wearing ever since the movie.
Yeah.
And so he literally took it off his finger and gave it to the girl.
That is so cool. Because I remember reading your interview, he was like, this ring is mine. I'm going to forever have it. And also, you know, if you've seen the pictures just at the Marvel panel, all the Avengers together.
Yes.
I mean, wasn't that amazing?
Avengers assemble.
First off, I thought it was a great idea to have all that picture, not only because, you know, you get to see everybody. You get to see, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, yeah. Chris Hemsworth, you know.
Chris Hemsworth, who looks huge.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say, is the fact that with all them together, Chris Hemsworth is like a head above everyone else,
and,
which is, like, perfect for Thor.
And Evans, like, way to get into shape.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Evans is, like, the he's in his button-down shirt, but you can see his muscle definition in it. It's well, like, how is that even possible?
You know,
like, good for you. Like, way to really take this on.
It's a really weird thing to say, but the thing is, Captain America, though, you know, at one point was kind of the biggest comic book, you know, character back in World War II, you know, he's not the star of Marvel by any means. And so, you know, I think Chris Evans is a really great choice for him, and I think he's going to do a really great job. And the guy is always good at staying in shape, which is part of the thing you need. Basically, there's a lot of Captain America cosplay going
on.
Yes. And, you know, Samuel Jackson, it's just going to be great. And we also saw...
It was also nice to see Joss Whedon in the picture.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, now it's official. Like,
yes.
Even though no one, like, even though everyone was saying it, but no one was officially saying it,
yeah.
It's obviously now completely, completely official.
And, you know, it's going to be great because Joss is able to not only do drama and comedy really well, but, you know, also his fight scenes are great. And also we get to see Jeremy Renner is going to play Hawkeye, and Mark Ruffalo, who is the new Hulk.
Yes. So why don't we just get into this? Why don't we get into some of our Leverage interviews?
Great.
And we can talk some more about some of the other celebrity sightings we saw a little later in the show.
Super.
Okay, so I think we're going to actually start with our Timothy Hutton interview.
Nice.
And Timothy Hutton, who plays Nate Ford on Leverage. Leverage, one of our favorite shows. So let's just get straight to it.
Let's do it.
So my first question was, do you prefer playing drunk Nate, sober Nate, or casual drinker Nate?
The lines have blurred, certainly. I don't, you know, it depends on what the situation is. Sometimes it's been interesting. I mean, this year, the third season, it's certainly been interesting to move away from so-called drunk Nate, and to be sort of the Nate that is a little bit more hardened after prison and much more man on a mission, wants to keep the team in line and everything, and test them out a little bit and see which one has what it takes to maybe one day lead their own crew kind of thing. But then every once in a while, it's nice to kind of call back that this guy, Nate Ford, really does have a problem. And when things get to be too intense for him, he does turn to the bottle. And then how does he function with that? But when it gets morose, I don't really like that. We're moving away from, you know, from that. So that when he becomes kind of, unable to function, it becomes less interesting.
So for anyone who hasn't seen Leverage, what's the most important thing for them to know about Nate Ford?
I guess the most important thing to know about Nate Ford is that he's just, he's this completely damaged guy who is trying everything to kind of rebuild his life. And he discovered that the only way that he can kind of become a solid citizen again is to help other people. And that he needs to move on and from various tragic things that have happened to him and devote his life to helping other people that have been scammed or ripped off.
Are there any decisions that Nate made that you personally don't agree with?
But I enjoy the methods by which Nate, goes about taking bad guys down. Sometimes it's incredibly heavy-handed, because Nate's passion for really hurting and harming scammers, con artists, is pretty interesting. I don't know that myself or anyone else who does the show would actually go that far and just totally ruin someone's life who has ripped someone off. But it's what makes the show fun. Yeah.
So when Leverage eventually ends, who's going to get the painting of Harlan Leverage III?
I don't know. That will probably go to Dean Devlin's office or John Rogers' office. Yeah, it's not anything I want. I'll tell you that.
What's your favorite thing about playing Nate Ford?
Probably my favorite thing about playing Nate Ford is getting to play other characters other than Nate Ford. Nate Ford. When a plan is being put together, Nate decides, who's going to do what and how they're going to proceed with the plan. And sometimes he's the one who infiltrates or takes on a role to become a con artist and to try to deflect attention away from the others. And those are always fun to play, whether it's a slimy lawyer or, someone who's crawled out from under a rock. I think that Nate really enjoys playing those parts. And I enjoy the fact that I've decided that Nate enjoys playing those parts.
So there's a whole lot of geeky references throughout the show, especially in Hardison's dialogue. When you're reading through the scripts, do you pick up on a lot of those geeky references, or are they just, out there?
Yeah, I pick up on some of them. Certainly the Avengers, and some Doctor Who, but some other things, I'm not the one on the set that, it's John Rogers and some of the other guys who are Trekkies and everything and know all that stuff,
Super. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was so cool.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Is he the first Academy Award winner we've talked to?
Is he?
Yeah.
I think he is.
I believe he's still the youngest person to win a Best Supporting Actor award for an Academy Award. Yeah, what a great guy. We were really lucky to talk to him. He is, Nate, he's the main character of Leverage. Mm-hmm. He's the mastermind.
Yes.
I loved our first question because the character does go through alcoholism. He mm-hmm. does have, through the different seasons, he has different shifts.
Yes.
And so cool.
I also like that he dislikes that painting mm-hmm. as much as the character.
Yeah.
Nate does.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. He just I certainly don't want.
I gotta say. It's if you listen to our show, we do love Leverage. It's not like we got interviews. We love Leverage.
Yeah.
One of the things we love about it is it's so funny. It does deal with a lot of dramatic stuff,
mm-hmm.
because they all go in after villains, real world type villains, but it's so funny.
Yes.
And that painting is the greatest thing ever.
Absolutely.
I can't. It's too much. I can't deal
yes.
with it.
Yes.
So
good.
It was really cool talking to Timothy Hutton and just awesome answers.
Yeah, thank you so much to Timothy for sitting with us and taking the time to answer our silly questions.
Definitely.
As well as our more serious
yes.
ones. Okay, so next up we've got Aldous Hodge, who plays Alec Hardison.
Who is the super geek.
Yes.
Who should go down as a geek icon because his character is geeky beyond extreme.
I wish we'd gotten to ask him about Megabyte.
Yes, that's true. We did want to ask him about his dog Megabyte.
We didn't get too much time with him, but the interview still went really awesome. So should we just get to it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, so for anyone who hasn't seen Leverage, what's the most important thing for them to know about Hardison?
The most important thing to know about Hardison is that of the crew of us five, for those that don't know, Leverage is a show about a group of con men who go, we take on corporate criminals, and we help protect the little people that they take advantage of. My character, I'm the hacker of the group, you know. I'll get you in where you need to get in. I'll get you out where you need to get out. And I can make some money, too. Most important thing about Hardison, he's not exactly the mediator of the crew. He's definitely sarcastic, talks a lot of jab. But he's the information guy. You need to know something, you come to him, you get it. He's very straight in that he likes to keep things together with the team. He likes to keep everybody on an even, calm keel. He doesn't, you know, really spark up with the attitude too much. He doesn't really get aggressive, anything like that. Only time he gets aggressive is when he's trying to protect his friends. So he's a good, well-rounded dude. But, yeah, he's got a big mouth like me.
So the first thing I ever saw you in was Friday Night Lights, playing the villainous voodoo. And, you know, Hardison is pretty much exact opposite type character. So do you like playing badass more or badass geek?
Let me see. As long as it's badass, I don't care. You know? Like you said, Hardison, you said badass geek. Yeah, you know, I think it. Hardison is a badass geek, man. He knows his game. He knows what he's doing. Still, he's a thief at the end of the day, so he's not exactly on the straight and narrow path. Voodoo was a lot of fun, though. I mean, going down there, it was first season, so all the actors were fresh on the season. Not fresh actors, but just fresh on the show. And everybody was there to have a good time, make a good product, and it was an amazing experience. Texas, we shot in Austin, great time. But the show itself, Friday Night Lights, is a brilliant show. I think it's brilliantly acted, well shot. It has great direction and chemistry. But it was a good time. I love playing the villain. It's great. You get to really explore deep parts of character types. But with Leverage, the beauty in that is that I'm playing somebody different every single day. Even with Hardison being consistent, jumping into these cons, we got to dress different, speak different, you know, with the accents and all that, sound different. We have to be in a different mentality every single episode. And that's the beauty of this job, and that's why I love it so much.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you.
Wow. Yeah. You know what's great about Aldous Hodge?
No, what?
That
everything. He's awesome.
That he is that cool.
Yeah.
He just
totally.
Is that cool.
Totally.
He's making a line of watches.
Yes.
Like, how awesomely geeky is that?
Yeah, we had a conversation before the interview started, and he was telling me how, you know, it takes, like, he said, you know, he's working on his own watch. It's going to take him, like, a year to get it done because, you know, making a real watch, like, takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he's so cool. You know, it's so funny because we actually watched I watched the first, like, two or three seasons of Friday Night Lights. You watched the first season. And so we did get to see him as this voodoo character.
Yes.
And so we saw him in that. We also saw him in Supernatural as one of the psychic kids.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
like an episode of Bones.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
And so, you know, he played, you know, especially Voodoo, you know, they're both kind of like these darker, kind of more villainous characters. And then we saw him in Leverage, and we were just, one of the things we loved about it, you know, we already knew, obviously, who Timothy Hutton was.
Yes.
We already knew who Gina Bellman was
from Jekyll.
We already knew, obviously, who Christian Kane was from mm-hmm. Angel. And we had seen him in Friday Night Lights already. And to go from this character, Voodoo, who's this really cocky guy.
Mean and scary.
Yeah, to like the... One of the first things you ever see about Hardison is like when he gets arrested after he was in a hotel room basically with strippers
a bunch of hot strippers
and lightsabers and then you know the police break in and he tries to use the force on them.
Uh-huh.
These droids are not yours.
Oh
yeah,
my god.
And he's just, you know, it's such a great character and it's really really cool and he's just fantastic in it and he's really good at doing accents too.
He is.
You know, we did some research on him. He was on Broadway when he was like nine. He was on like show Sailboat. I mean, just great actor, really super cool guy.
Yeah, it was awesome to hear that Timothy Hutton like picks up on Doctor Who references.
Yeah.
Aldous Hodge is a geek.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's just
cool.
I think it makes us like the show even more.
Yeah, it really does. You know, because, you know, like we said, you know, sometimes we get worried, like, you know, when you love characters, you want you don't want the actors to be the characters, mm-hmm. but you want them to appreciate the things you appreciate about the characters, and it's really nice when that happens.
Yeah. Okay, so shall we move on to the next one?
Yes, we should.
Okay, next up is Beth Riesgraf, who plays Parker.
Oh, man.
And I apologize for mispronouncing her name during the interview.
Yes.
My bad, but it is Beth Riesgraf, and she is totally awesome and so beautiful. It's too bad that Parker doesn't get to smile as much, because she's stunning, absolutely beautiful, and just they were all so cool. Nice,
yeah.
So cool. So let's get to our Beth Riesgraf interview.
So first off, in what ways do you identify with Parker? And please don't say her sociopathic tendencies.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can identify with Parker. She looks a lot like me. But I don't know. It's like, this is a tricky question. I like that she has her own approach to things, you know, and she doesn't try to conform. And when she does, it's with her social skills. And I admire that she's trying to make a change for the better, and I can relate to her on that point. And I think that she's a bit of a perfectionist. They all are in their own right, so I can relate to that side of it, you know. But I like her sense of humor, and I like that she cracks herself up sometimes. And I just feel really lucky to be able to play this character. Yeah.
So Parker's the daredevil of the group. What's the craziest physical thing you've had to do for Leverage?
The craziest thing? You know what? I have to say it goes back to the pilot still, because it was, I've told the story, we probably, if you know it, sorry, but it's like the 44-story building upside down at 4 in the morning. It's like hour 17 of the last day of the pilot shoot, and it was like, the wind kicked up, and they had built this fake, side of a building on top of the 44 stories. So it's like, I'm upside down. I've never done harness work. I've never, you know, and I'm like, okay, sure. We just don't have time to think about it. And I got up there, and all of a sudden, like, hoo-hoo-hoo, the wind comes, and I'm kind of like, blowing out from the side of the building. So that was, I still think that might top it, because it was so high up. It was really high.
So Parker is a master thief. Have you learned enough in the last 3 seasons for Beth Riesgraf to be a master thief?
I don't think master thief, because the camera is my friend. Like, we get to hide a lot of the tricks, you know, but I've learned some of it. Yeah, it's been really fun, and Apollo Robbins has been such a great help. I mean, he's our go-to guy, so he's been really cool about letting me in on secrets, and I'm sworn to secrecy on some of them, but he's been so great. Yeah, it's nice.
So Parker's shown a lot more emotion this year than ever before. Where would you like to see the character go?
Overall, I guess I'd like Parker to find... overall, I think it would be great to see her have confidence in all areas of her life and just know that she's okay being who she is. And to be... It's weird because she's totally okay with it, but there's moments where her radar gets, you know, shook up a bit. And those moments, it's those times when her vulnerabilities kind of come out that hopefully she can grow and learn and get to a place of sort of peace with some of her past. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ah, another great one.
Yeah. So cool.
Man.
So cool. I love that character too. She is like, she's crazy.
Yeah.
And like she said, you know, she's great, and you know, she has like childlike qualities, but she's also like, she is a master thief.
Yeah.
And she, like, that one scene in that one episode with she thought that the Jerry Ryan character had double crossed him, and she was basically gonna throw her off a building.
Yeah.
Like she's awesome. She's super, super awesome, and she just plays it great. You know, I gotta say, I'm very proud of myself real quick, because, you know, sometimes when we talk to like beautiful blonde actresses. Yeah. I have trouble. You know, a few years ago we talked to Allison Mack and Laura Vandervoort on the Smallville set, and I was like, you're pretty. Yeah.
I think it worked well for you to be holding the camera,
yeah,
so then you had something else to focus on,
exactly,
so that you weren't like totally, you know, caught up in
exactly
just how beautiful she was.
Yes, exactly.
So
my jaw would just be on the ground the entire time.
Yeah, and so nice too.
Yes, so
we all were.
So thank you, Beth, for talking to me.
Yes.
You know, anime okay too, but me especially.
Thank you for not getting mad at me for saying your name wrong.
Yes, yes.
Beth,
that was very
Riesgraf,
kind of you.
Yes. You rock.
Yes.
Okay, so actually we got to get to a break, but when we get back we will have more interviews. We'll have interviews with Christian Kane, with Will Wheaton, with the co-creator Chris Downey. So and then later on Tron interviews.
Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy.
Hi, this is Will Wheaton from, among other things, Radio Free Burrito, and you are listening to Geek World.
We are back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhost anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek, and this week, Comic-Con.
Yeah!
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
You know, I would say Comic-Con is like, it really is the geek marathon, isn't it?
Kind of.
Like, if there was a marathon purely for geeks, it would have to be Comic-Con.
I mean, like, people that rarely walk spend all day walking.
I know.
Crazy.
It's great. It's great. It's good for you. Comic-Con is very positive.
Yes. Yes,
and there's no violence going on. It's a very positive place.
Seriously.
So yes. Yeah, so we've been playing our Leverage interviews, mm-hmm, which are just awesome. Just like really, really, really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So who we got next?
Who do we have next? We have Christian Kane.
Oh man.
Oh man. He was Lindsay in Angel.
Yeah.
He's Elliot in Leverage,
yeah,
and he is just super awesome.
He's super cool.
And another one of them that really just is that cool.
Yeah, you know, once again,
and his hair is magnificent.
Yes, it is.
It just it like,
yeah,
you know how it sometimes like in the show it just kind of like flies and then like settles and it's just like really cool. It's almost like a cape.
Uh-huh.
You know? That it just is. That
yeah,
that's just his awesome hair.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I have to agree. Yeah, I mean, just like
he's
you said.
Just,
he
yeah
was Lindsay and Angel, which is you know, of course, one of our favorite geek shows.
Yes.
And yeah, and he's just perfect for the role. I mean, once again, one of the things about this show is like everyone is cast perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone is cast perfectly.
So let's just get to it. This is Christian Kane.
Okay. So first off, for anyone who hasn't seen Leverage, what's the most important thing for them to know about Elliot?
Well, Elliot's a tin man. He doesn't have, you know, he's the military took his heart out. So he's trying to get that. Is this on Yoda?
Yes, it is.
So he's the team man, and he's trying to get his heart back. The military took it from him. And it's fun to watch this character start growing into caring more about people and all that. Now, I think, and I know for a fact, it's probably going to come back to bite him, and you'll see him switch to what he used to be. And that's coming up, which is a fun little arc for me. But, I mean, he's literally the Tin Man. I think he's looking for a heart, but it's just unattainable.
So, in Angel, you did some fighting here and there, but you were mostly a lawyer. And this, you know, it's nothing compared to what you do on an episode-per-episode basis for Leverage. What kind of training did you go through to play the character?
You know, John Rogers wrote this role with me in mind. He knew that I was a fighter, and he also knew that I'm a wrestler from Oklahoma, so that's my base. I'm a wrestler, so you know. And then I studied a little bit throughout the last couple of years in Kali, which is all elbows and knees and stuff like that. But other than that, you know, Mike Massa was on Angel. He was David Boreanaz's stunt double, and he was fight coordinator and stunt coordinator. And Mike let me do all my own stuff, and I've always done my own stunts. For 12 years, I've done my own stunts. I'm very fortunate to say that in Hollywood, you know, and I'm getting older now, so it's hurting a little bit. But, you know, John and Dean are very respectful of that, and I think that that's unreal that they would allow an actor to do as many stunts as I do, you know. And to not have a stunt double and just have it for me, I think it helps the show, but at the same time, it's a little bit of a liability. And we've been fortunate so far. I only go to the hospital 2 times a year, and every season. But we've been fortunate, and it's fun, man. It's you know, I'm fight coordinator. I coordinate the fight. Nobody, you know. So it's a testament to them, but it's really fun for me. It's like the best job I've ever had.
So there's a whole lot of geeky references just throughout all of the shows, especially with Hardison's dialogue. When you're reading through the scripts, do you pick up on a lot of them, or do you just do they just go right by?
Well, I'm the tough guy, so it's like, you know, this and that. But to be honest with you, I'm a Star Trek fan. I'm a freaking Star Wars fan. So, you know, all this stuff is like, you know, I pick up on it. I do understand it. Yeah, I don't like to. You won't see it on screen because Elliot's not the guy that would understand it. But I do pick up on it. You know, I mean, it's television. I'm a freaking angel, man. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun, and I do pick up on it. It's a lot of fun. But it's funny watching Aldous have to say those lines sometimes. I just laugh.
Yeah.
You know, you've played everything from an evil lawyer to a stay-at-home dad to, you know, the Elliot character. what's your favorite kind of role to play?
Not a stay-at-home dad. I did not like that being that role. You know, it's the action. It's the action. It's the adrenaline. It's all that stuff. It's the thing that when you were a little kid, and, you know, I was 13, 14, 15 years old on the side of my bed praying that I could play a role like this. I mean, this is the role that I came to Hollywood to play. And I like the action. I think that there's good drama with action. And, you know, I don't necessarily need to be Stallone or anything, but this is fun for me. I want to be Steve McQueen, you know what I mean? But you can still act. A lot of people have forgotten. You can still act and really hit the drama, even though you're doing action scenes. And that's what I love about this most.
So the Leverage crew really feels like a family. How does that compare to the cast?
Well, it's the same. It's actually more. We have to remember on Leverage that there's parts of us that don't like each other. Very hard to do because in season three. This is three seasons of the show. The cast still loves each other. That's a rarity in television. We still all love each other and care for each other dearly. And I think that bleeds out on screen. We have to forget that sometimes when I'm mad at Hardison or when Nate's mad at, you know, so we have to forget that we have to remember that we're playing roles and forget that we really love each other, you know what I mean? And it's very rare for a cast to still be this tight and this close and love each other as much as we do.
So I actually just have like a really serious question to ask. Well, we really love the episode of Angel Dead End, and we want to know, does the evil hand ever get in the way of any of your fight sequences and Leverage?
Yeah, I don't know whose hand I've got right now. It's, well, I do know, and that guy died. But I killed him, actually, which is really morbid. But thanks for the hand, bro. Unplug him. You know, it does. It does. There's I still have evil hand issues, and this thing's starting to hit a lot harder. Actually, I think it's trying to get away from me. So when I throw it, it's actually trying to leave my body. So it makes my punches a lot harder.
Fantastic.
That's
great.
Thanks so much.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I am so glad. Like he didn't just play along. Like he totally answered that.
Yeah.
It was great because you go, okay, I got a serious one. He actually like hunkered down a little. Said, okay, I'm ready for it. And you asked that. It was just like, yeah. Oh, it was great. He was awesome.
We sometimes ask some preposterous questions.
Yeah, we tend to call it inane questions.
Yes.
With Geek World.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, I like to throw him off a little bit. Go, no, this is serious now. But yeah, he just, what a great guy and really funny and just some great stuff. You know, I just, there's a few things that are really cool about him. I think that one of the things I always think about the end of Angel
mm-hmm.
and that one scene when Lorne kills his character at the end is like one of my favorite moments in TV.
Yeah.
And I think I do have to say one thing though. Just to keep our journalistic integrity, there was an edit in there.
Yes.
There was a slight edit in there.
Yes,
because,
yes, when he asked about Yoda.
Yes, yes. He said, is that bleeping Yoda?
Yeah.
So we had to cut that out for, you know, this is a family show.
Right,
family
right.
Show.
But, you know, if we put the video up, I think we'll keep it.
Yes, yes. Or maybe we'll just put a little, maybe we'll go bleep.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So let's actually move on to Will Wheaton, who was
man.
A guest star on a previous episode, and will be coming back. And let's just get straight on to it. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We've now seen you at the Phoenix Comic Con this year, E3, and here. What's your favorite part about going to these conventions?
I've gone to conventions since I was a kid. My first con was a horror con when I was in sixth grade at the Ambassador Hotel. That's how long ago it was. And I've gone to Star Trek conventions before I was on Star Trek. And I used to come to Comic Con when it was just about comic books, when it only filled up like maybe half of the main exhibition hall. And the last couple of years, and this year especially, it's been really cool for me to be able to give back in a really small way to a community that has given me so much and has been such an enormous part of my life.
So last time we saw your character in Leverage, she was getting hauled away for
smuggling art.
What can we expect to see from him coming back this year?
all I can tell you is what John Rogers told me when he called and asked me if I would come back and do the show again. He said, I'm working on a Christmas episode, and I want Chaos to be the Grinch who stole Christmas. And I was like, yes, yes, 1,000 times, yes!
Oh, God. That's awesome. It's really funny. So... Do you watch all the episodes of Leverage?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've been a fan of Leverage from the pilot. I absolutely love the show. And when we did Two Live Crew Job, I knew the rhythm of the show. I knew the music of the show. I knew the relationships of all of the characters, and it was very easy for me to fit in tonally to what the show is all about. And, you know, it's always fun to go. It's like working on Big Bang Theory. It's so fun to be part of a show that I already love.
Yeah.
Because I get to go and sort of see it from the inside, and then I get to be a part of the creation of a show that I love. It's so great. You know, yesterday, I went to the Warner Brothers party yesterday, and I was standing 10 feet from the Bare Naked Ladies while they were doing a private concert for us, for like 100 people. And they sell out stadiums. And I was right, you know, I was like right there. And I'd talked to them before the show. And I called my wife and I said, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I was at Comic-Con sitting at an empty table all by myself and nobody paid any attention to me. And like now, how did this happen? And I felt like I was going to cry. And my wife said, it's because you've worked so hard and you're not a dick. And I was like, okay, now I am going to cry. It's just been such an incredible experience for me. And I'm just so grateful.
That was so awesome.
Yeah, you know, this Comic-Con was all about, like, wish fulfillment. Like,
yes.
We didn't even realize we were going to talk to Will Wheaton.
No.
We knew he was going to be on the panel, but we didn't know if he was going to be there for the interviews. And, you know, it's hard to say. I think, you know, it's probably little kids right now who are, like, watching The Karate Kid, and they're like, you know, Jaden James is probably really inspiring to them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he was like for us in Star Trek Next Generation.
The character of Wesley Crusher, he was, like, the boy genius.
Yeah.
And as little kids at the time, it was like we had this person to truly look up to, because
yeah.
You know, even if you watch them back now and you kind of see, it's like, yeah, he kind of screwed some things up too, but at the same time, when you're a kid and you're watching it, it's like, this kid is on the bridge of the Enterprise and being respected by all of these major players on the Enterprise, and he just, his character always meant so much to us. It's so funny because I know we've had so many questions for him, but his answers are so full that he answered half the questions that we had tried to come up with anyway, like half the questions you would have wanted to ask, he just answered within that.
Yeah, and he's just so great. You know, he had the big part in obviously in Star Trek, and you know, it's tough to go from a child actor into an adult actor, but you know, he has his blog, and he's just been blowing up now. You know, this year, like big time, like we said, Big Bang and on Fark, and he's just, you know, he's just really great, and it was really a pleasure to talk to him because we wanted to talk to him for a very long time.
And if we had been at any of those conventions where people weren't paying attention to him, we would have paid attention.
And by the way,
we're totally going to get one of those Wesley Crusher's shirts.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God,
yes.
One of those Big Bang Bowling, the Wesley Crusher's shirts. We so have to get those.
Exactly. And I have to say, you know, especially if you're a fan of Star Trek, but even not, if you get the chance to see him speak, he's a great speaker.
Yeah.
We saw him at Phoenix, and he, you know, he's that's what he does a lot of time. He goes around and he's a speaker, and he's just fantastic. He's funny. He's like, I mean, we host a show called Geek World. He's way geekier than we are.
Oh, way.
I mean, way geekier.
Yeah, he does like the gaming.
He does like
the
tabletop games and like stuff I don't even know about. So he's fantastic and really cool, and we're very lucky. So thank you very much,
just,
Will.
Oh my God, it's so nice because it's like, you know, to us, he's like, he's a big star.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know, even if in his mind he's not, he is.
Well,
he is. And he's just growing and growing now.
It's funny. I look at my like favorite shows, and really, Star Trek Next Generation is probably my like third favorite show of all time. time, and it's really funny because I remember I met LeVar Burton once.
Yes,
and it was Louis Gossett Jr. was right next to him, and I love Louis Gossett Jr. But I sort of had to just be like, oh, how's it going? And shake his hand so I could run over to LeVar Burton because I was like, I love you,
I love you, Jordy.
Yeah, it's just like it's such a big deal, you know, because this show was such a big part of my childhood, and a lot of our childhoods. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you growing up in the late '80s, so yeah, it's just really great to talk to him.
Yeah,
we're really lucky.
Okay, well, we've got one more Leverage interview, so let's get to it. This is our interview with Chris Downey, who is one of the co-creators and a producer of Leverage.
Yes.
So let's get to it.
So what was the inspiration for creating Leverage?
The inspiration. The origin of Leverage was there was a few different rivers that all kind of came together. I believe Michael Wright, who's the head of TNT, was talking to Dean Devlin, who's one of the executive producers of the show. And Dean had done a series of movies for TNT, the Librarian movies. And Michael Wright said to Dean, "When am I going to get a series from you?" And Dean said, "You know, I always wanted to do a kind of fun heist show." And Michael Wright said, "Sold," which never happens in Hollywood. Dean then went to John Rogers, who's a writer and is the co-creator of the show, and said, "Hey, do you want to come up with a heist show for TNT?" And John said, "Sure." And John and I have been friends for many years. But we hadn't worked together since our first show together. And so John said to me, "Do you want to work on this show that TNT is interested in, a heist show?" And I said, "Sure." And the rest is kind of history. We sat down and worked on characters and premise and worked on it with Dean. And Dean brought it to life in the pilot. And now here we are at the end of season 3.
So one of the things we love about Leverage is there's so many geeky references you guys make, you know, between comic books and, you know, Doctor Who. And, of course, you know, the Hardison characters is a super geek. Who's the geekiest person in the cast?
Wow, the geekiest person in the cast. I think maybe Aldous is probably the geekiest person. He's a big comic book fan. It comes from here. It's not something that an affectation he puts on for the character. He's the real deal. So I'd have to say it's Aldous.
Do you identify personally with any of the characters?
I think I identify with all of them in different ways. I mean, they're all so interesting. They're endlessly surprising to write for. I don't think there's any one character that I would say, that's me. I love them all.
So, what can we expect for season 3?
We're kind of getting towards the middle of season 3, and as we head towards the end, those of you who've been watching the show know that we did a little bit of an arc this year with a bad guy, Damien Moreau, who's kind of an international financier for criminals and drug runners and terrorists, and the team has been slowly kind of hunting him down at the behest of the mysterious Italian played by Elisabetta Canalis. So as we get towards the end of the show, those things are going to come to a head, and the two-part finale is just every bit the action movie that people tune into every week. It's a big canvas, and it's big stunts and action, and I think it's going to knock everyone's socks off.
You guys have had some fantastic guest stars on the show. Is there anyone that you'd really like to get on the show, or that you're trying to get on the show right now?
Wow, that's a good question. We've had some really amazing luck with getting people on the show. I don't know, I always wanted to meet Elvis Costello. I think he would be a great bad guy. And I would get to hang out with him in Portland and go out to dinner. And so I'm just going to put that out there. Elvis, if you're watching this, I'll write a part, an evil part for you. Come to Portland, we'll hang out. So that's me being geeky right there.
So you wrote a lot of episodes of King of Queens. How's it different writing for Leverage than a sitcom?
King of Queens, the way we would come up with stories is we would come in on Monday morning, and we were all married, and we would go around the room and say who had a funny fight with their husband or wife this weekend. and those would become episodes. So it was all sort of like stuff that happened to you. That was really like what King and Queens was. It was all internal. Leverage is much more sort of the world. It's, you know, we read articles, the writers kind of find something online that we'll like send to each other to see if it sparks anything, a potential bad guy, a potential client, an interesting setting that we haven't done before. So it's a little more exterior, you know, is where the inspiration comes from.
For anyone who hasn't ever seen an episode of Leverage, what do you think is the most important thing for them to know?
Most important thing for them to know is the show is just tons of fun. When we set out to do the show, John and I, there were a lot of dramas on television that were really dark, you know? A lot of shows about serial killers. There are more shows about serial killers right now than serial killers have actually existed in history. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to go after, you know, corporate fat cats and Wall Street bigwigs who, you know, really put screws to people, since the serial killers are covered pretty well. So if you're looking for a show that's fun and that is escapist, this is the show for you.
Are we going to continue to learn about the characters' histories as the show goes on?
No. You've learned everything that you're ever going to know about. Yes, absolutely. We are, you know... The thing is, you don't want to kind of dump all the backstory about everybody at once. You want to kind of parse it out over time. And with a show like this, we have the luxury to do that. We know that, you know, we have 15, 16 episodes a season, and we can kind of take a look at, well, here's an opportunity. Here's a story where we could have an opportunity to learn something about Nate or Sophie or Hardison, you know, sort of depending upon what situation they're in. I mean, you know, the Scheherazade job this year was a great example, because here we learned that when he was younger, Hardison played violin, which is not something that anybody knew before, and so that sort of opens up a little bit about his character. So it's...
So we've now seen a whole bunch of the bridge crew from the Enterprise of Star Trek Next Generation come through the show. Are we going to be seeing the rest of the bridge crew come through at any point?
Wow, how great would it be to have Patrick Stewart on the show? One of our most beloved directors is Jonathan Frakes, who played Commander Riker on Next Gen. And, he's kind of brought on a lot of the people from the show. We're all Star Trek, you know, geeks in the room, so it's really kind of worked out. Season one, Brent Spiner was fantastic on the show as a bad guy. So I definitely think we'll be seeing more folks from Star Trek popping up on the show.
What is your favorite thing about each character?
Wow, about each character. Each character. I don't know. You know, it's hard. It's like, again, it's like saying who's my favorite character. Like, there are just so many things I love about them. I love Elliot's grumpiness and just the way that he kind of throws off jokes in the most tense situations. I love Parker's just kind of childlike quality with a sort of mischievous glint in her eye. Just the way she just says things that you just, you know, you can't believe that she just said that. I love Nate's just ability to kind of ground everybody and just kind of anchor the show. And Sophie, you know, is just... I love her aspiring to act and failing. I mean, that's like, I think that's such a wonderful quality about her, that she's only a great actress when she's in the con. So there's something about everybody that I really like.
There's a whole lot of geeky references throughout all of the episodes, especially in Hardison's dialogue. When writing the shows, do those references just kind of come to you, or does everyone kind of throw them in, or are they ad-libbed by the actors?
No, mostly they're in the script. We kind of had a running thing early on in season one whenever the team was playing an alias, that the aliases they used was supposed to be a wink to whatever movie we were kind of spoofing. So the first time we did it was, I believe, in The Wedding Job. Hardison and Parker as the FBI agents were Thomas and Hagen, which is the name of Robert Duvall's character from The Godfather. So that was just like a little wink to people. Okay, this is kind of like we're doing a mafia story. And that's kind of like we sort of picked that up, and every... I think also in season one, in which episode? The Bank Shot Job. They were officers Elmore and Leonard. So it was, okay, we're doing an Elmore Leonard story. So I think these writers have kind of picked up on that and really try and do that. And the Doctor Who references are really born out of the fact that there are just tons of Doctor Who fans on the writing staff.
We would also be Doctor Who fans.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
One of the things we love about Leverage is the fact that you guys balance comedy really well with drama. Is it difficult sometimes to balance the two out?
The challenge is you don't want the show to get so kind of frothy that you don't buy the jeopardy that the team is in. I mean, it's really... I hate shows where bullets are whizzing over their heads and they're cracking jokes and it doesn't seem like anybody's in any danger. So it's very much... We try not to make the shows... To get too... Dean talks about the show being 6 inches off the ground but not 3 feet off the ground. So when we do comedy on the show, we always try to make sure that it's balanced in the episode with an emotional story. Something one of the characters is going through... That kind of like gives you the license to have fun with some of the other storylines.
Okay, one more silly question.
Sure.
When Leverage eventually does end, who's going to get the painting of Harlan Leverage III?
That's a good question. I think we'll have to stay tuned. I'm sure that'll spark some hot debate in the writers' room.
Awesome.
All right,
guys, I think that's it.
I think it's a yeah.
Thank you so much,
thank
you guys.
So those were our Leverage interviews. We want to put a thanks out there. We want to thank Timothy Hutton, Aldous Hodge, Beth Riesgraf, Will Wheaton, Christian Kane, Chris Downey. Did I get everyone?
Yes.
Nice. Sweet. We want to thank everyone, and we want to thank TNT for letting us have those interviews.
Yes.
They were just everyone was just so
great.
Yeah.
Yes.
So nice and. Great answers, too.
No, totally. And I think we need to somehow find a copy of the painting.
Yes.
Because the painting is the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Harlan Leverage III.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
So we are going to be taking another quick break here. But when we come back, stick around because we've got our Tron interviews. Later, we've got an interview with the guy who's responsible for that amazing Dark Knight motorcycle suit.
Yes.
From Universal Designs.
And they got an Iron Man one, too, which is sweet.
And Wolverine, which is awesome.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. And we're going to be also talking about some of the panels we went to. We're going to be talking about BBC's Being Human, which we love. The upcoming The Cape with Summer Glau.
Yes.
Falling Skies and MTV's Teen Wolf.
Yeah. So, well, stick around because the other stuff is awesome.
Yeah. But then there'll be a bunch of other cool stuff too after that.